It's nearly two decades since the first transgenic food, the Flavour Saver tomato, appeared on supermarket shelves. At first, consumers were scared off by the prospect of fish genes in their tomato or other genetically modified foods on the kitchen table. But as we struggle to feed the growing global population, is our attitude to GM foods changing? It's the focus of this weekend's background briefing, as Ian Walker reports.
If there's one thing British environmentalist Mark Lynas has learned, it's that the debate over biotechnology is murkier, more passionate, and unlike any we've had before.
No one even knows what GM means. They don't know what the process is for transferring bits of DNA between one crop and another. In fact, they don't even know that genes are in their food. If you ask people on the street corner, do this as an experiment, are you happy to have genes in your pizza? I suspect a big majority would say no, thank you very much.
This kind of ignorance irks Mark Lynas more than most, because that's what he believed for two decades. As a prominent figure of the anti-GM movement in Europe, he spent many of his nights destroying GM trial crops with whippersnippers. He railed against big agribusiness and seed patenting, while sowing the seeds of fear himself.
People have been told by activists and by others with an ideological agenda that they ought to be feeling scared about this, and they've been told that they ought to be feeling scared now for 10, 15 years. Now, you can't turn that around easily because these labels, if something says GM on it, it's like having a skull and crossbones. That's what people know what that means now.
In January this year, at a conference in Oxford, Lynas made an apology that in the days and weeks afterwards reverberated around the world.
So I guess you'll be wondering what happened between 1995 and now that made me not only change my mind, but actually come here and stand before you today and admit it. Well, the answer is fairly simple. I discovered science, and in the process, I hope, I'm becoming a better environmentalist.
The Lynas conversion was a revelation for journalist John Entine, who wrote up the story for Forbes magazine. It was potential dynamite, a recognition we'd arrived at a significant turning point.
Every once in a while, our society faces major inflection points when certain technologies come into play here. And we saw it in the 1800s with the railroad. We've seen it with nuclear technology. We've seen it with computer technology. And I really think that we're in this kind of inflection period with biotechnology. And it is literally changing the way we can think about nature, and I mean in a good sense, and I don't believe that we're violating God's way or any kind of natural order of things, but it is a profound experience, and which is why it's scary to many people.
As a new convert, Mark Lynas has now joined the likes of John Entine as a champion of the potential benefits of biotechnology. Cowed by the strident cries of Frankenfood for decades, scientists in the GM debate are now fighting back and talking up a new phase of the technology, like Australia's Professor James Dale.
And we're seeing, just starting to see the revolution. Virtually all of the really big crop genomes have been sequenced. We're now starting to identify what genes in those genomes are going to be really useful.
The prospects and potential of what's to come with what they've dubbed biotech version 2.0 is likely to further sway the debate.
I think what we're going to start to see is, and we're already seeing it, is plant genes being moved around. A lot of it is going to be targeted towards the things that we're really concerned about with climate change, with drought, even with flooding, submersion, etc. So we're starting to see those traits coming through and really, you know, the next generation of GM crops, and they're going to be, I think, of much greater benefit to humanity than round one.
James Dale's Banana 21 project is a case in point. It's funded by the Gates Foundation and is tackling vitamin A deficiency in some of the poorest parts of Africa by enriching a staple food, in this case, bananas for Uganda, via GM. It might help save the 670,000 or so kids who die from micronutrient malnutrition every year, and half as many again who go blind. These genetically modified golden bananas have been developed in Australia, and Professor Dale claims the results so far are very promising.
We have pro-vitamin A Cavendish bananas with double our target level of provitamin A, which is 20 micrograms per gram dry weight equivalent of beta-carotene. So that's fabulous. And so we know which genes to use. We know which promoters to use. We've transferred that technology to Uganda. They now have their bananas in the field, and just very recently they identified a line which also has double the target level of provitamin A. So it's really exciting. So we're now moving into development phase.
The project's on track to produce enriched bananas ready for human eating trials by next year. But not if some of the NGOs in Uganda have their way. Mark Linus has just returned from a visit there with some hair-raising tales of treachery by anti-GM activists.
I heard stories from MPs who have had activists going into their constituencies, telling people, these are Muslim constituencies, that the scientists are putting pig genes into bananas. So these will be the biofortified bananas and also bacterial-resistant ones. Pig genes, and therefore you can't eat it as a Muslim, and literally people have been going crazy about this, and there's almost been violence breaking out. So the anti-GM activists have stooped as low as trying to cause religious violence in order to stop this technology.
And that's former anti-GM activist Mark Linus speaking here with Ian Walker, and his background briefing on the GM food debate is on this Sunday morning after the news at 8.